I would like to take the Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. We've been going through a six-part series on walking in the footsteps of Jesus. This is the fourth sermon in this series. We have found out to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, you need to follow Him as a disciple. You can't walk in someone's footsteps unless He's ahead and unless you're mimicking His footsteps. To walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we need to be humble. Because it's not about where we want to go, it's where God wants us to go. Last week, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, walking in His love. And we're going to find out that they're all connected. You can't love God unless you've received His gift of salvation. Here in His love, not that God first loved, not that God we first loved God, but that He first loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation or payment for our sins. Today, we're going to learn the fourth thing, that we need to walk in the obedience of Jesus, to walk in His footsteps. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. But before we read God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us to come to church today and read Your Bible and hear Your truth. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We ask that He would have full reign here today. He would teach us. He would convict us. He would instruct us in righteousness. And Father, we leave this place changed, more like You. Lord, I pray that You bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, You take away all distractions for a short period of time and we study Your word. Lord, help us to be faithful followers. Help us to love You. Help us to obey You. And we thank You and we ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Jesus is talking to the crowd. Inside the crowd, there are Pharisees, the religious leaders. And He asks this question. He says, What think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said, likewise. He answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They, the Pharisees, say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots, the ones you condemn, go into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist, came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Before we hear the message, we need to understand some things about obedience that we can get from this text. First of all, we need to consider obedience. Obedience and walking in the footsteps of Jesus are intertwined. They are interconnected. You can't walk in the footsteps of Jesus unless you obey God. And this verse 28 says, but what think ye? Let's think about this. Today I want you to think about obedience to God. Let's think about this and see if we're doing it. Verse 28 also shows the second thing, that obedience involves a choice. We get a command and we either choose to obey it or not obey it. But it's more than just words. But in order to obey, there's a third thing about this, that obedience requires a change of heart. Verse 29, the first son said, I'm not going to do it. But then he had a change of heart and he went. I'm guilty of this. I tell my students that I'm not going to do something, then I wind up doing it. We all do that, don't we? We need a change of heart to be obedient. Maybe you all need a change of heart today to follow God. However, obedience involves more than just mere words. In verse 30, we see the guy that says, I'm going to do it, and then he doesn't do it. Who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to the religious people. The ones who say they're following God in their words, but their actions are far from doing this. And we see this in verses 31 and 32. It says they're not believing. Because there's an element of belief that I really need to be obedient, because I really believe in who I'm being obedient to. Which gets us to the fifth part of this introduction, that obedience is not what man sees or not what man thinks, but what God sees. Today we have all sorts of words having changing definitions. And people have twisted the meaning of things to justify their position. It's what the Bible says, what they do, everything is right in their own eyes. And they praise evil and they punish good. It's not what man thinks, but what God says. But what His truth tells us. Verse 31, He says, you think you're going to heaven, but you're not. The people who you can't stand are the ones that are actually being obedient. And in verse 32, we see that obedience has eternal consequences. We need to be obedient to the call of salvation. Because if you don't believe Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. If you haven't asked for forgiveness and you haven't asked Him to give you that gift of eternal life, you're not going there. It's not what you can do, it's what He's done. For us, we need to be obedient as if we're going. Because obedience has eternal consequences, not only for you, but also for those around. Just like in Jonah's case. His disobedience caused that whole ship to be caught in a storm. Everybody on there be imperiled. And our disobedience causes that. Our disobedience can cause people to miss heaven because they never hear. So this morning I want to quickly look at three things about Jesus. And Jesus is our example. And we're going to learn about obedience through three illustrations from the Bible. First of all, we need to understand that Jesus obeyed the Father's will. The night before He was crucified, the night He was taken captive, in Matthew chapter 26, also in the other Gospels, it gives an account about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this prayer that He starts out praying for the Father to be glorified, Him to be glorified, and the disciples to be glorified, and that they would all keep together and they would all keep them away from evil. It's just a precursor for what the real issue is. The real issue is Jesus is going to die tomorrow. The cross is tomorrow. Passover is tomorrow. And in His humanity, He didn't want to do it. And you know, sometimes obedience is hard. And Jesus submitting to God's will, He submitted to it even when it was difficult. Sometimes we don't obey because it's just too hard. We want to take the easy way out. And we can't do that. John chapter 14, verse 31. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even So, what's the last two words?
I do.
We need to do that. We hear the commandment, and we have a choice. A choice to follow, or a choice not to. And Christ emulated everything that God, a godly person is supposed to be. Everyone, a righteous person is supposed to be. He did his Father's will, even to the end. It was difficult. The Garden of Gethsemane was difficult. You remember three times he went forward and he started praying about this. He come back and find the disciples asleep. We shouldn't be sleeping. We should make obedience a priority in our life. And obedience to God was a priority for Jesus because Jesus obeyed the Father's will. If you don't make up your mind now to obey, you will never obey.
Amen.
And in the account of Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says this, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." When it gets tough, we need to be praying. We need to be praying all the time. The Bible says we're supposed to pray without ceasing. And when we have a challenge in front of us and it's hard to obey, we need to understand that Jesus obeyed even in difficult times. Because obedience to God was a priority for him. And obedience needs to be a priority for us.
Amen.
Just like Jonah, his disobedience caused a disruption in God's plan. Obedience will cause the fulfillment of God's plan, and it's found in the life of Jesus because Jesus obeyed to fulfill God's plan of salvation. Every one of us in here right now, God has a plan for you. And you need to understand that you have a choice to obey it or disobey it. To obey it has eternal consequences, not only for you, but for those around you. Parents, for your families. Kids, for your parents. For your neighbors. For our country. Two weeks ago, we went through the humility of Christ and how he humbled himself to the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient unto death." Not only is the road hard to obey on, but the end goal may be harder to accept. But if that's God's plan for your life, you need to accept it. And you need to follow it. You can't quibble about it. You became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus obeyed the Father's will. Amen. And the reason he obeyed the Father's will is because obedience is an expression of love. In Genesis chapter 22, we see the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's an old man. Isaac's a young man. Isaac is the son of promise. God told Abraham that in Isaac all the nations would be blessed. That would be a great inheritance. But in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18, we see the account of Abraham being told by God to go sacrifice his son of promise, Isaac. It was difficult to hear it. It was difficult to saddle up the donkey with the wood and the fire and the instruments of sacrifice. And say, "Isaac, let's go." Isaac didn't know. It was difficult for him to get on the journey and go to the mountain. It was difficult for him to overcome all the things that Isaac's now asking. He said, wait a second. Where's the lamb? It was difficult for him to bind up his son. But he went through all that because he had confidence in God. The Bible says in 1 John, says, there is no fear in love because fear hath torment. In our love, we are made perfect in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And on the way, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, as this is all going on, and I firmly believe that Abraham knew that God was going to do something. He was just being tested. Because in Abraham said, in verse 8, it says, that, and Abraham said, my son, because Isaac said, wait a second, where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. Peter says, we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot. Amen. For a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. See, obedience to God demonstrates our love for Him. You can't go on the footsteps of Jesus unless you follow Him. You can't follow Him unless you're willing to do whatever God says. And that takes humility.
Amen.
You can't do what God says unless you love Him.
Amen.
You can't show the ultimate expression of love unless you obey Him. Obedience to God demonstrates our love for Him, because in John 14, verse 50, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus' obedience was motivated by His love for the Father. We go back to John 14, verse 31 again. It says, but that the world may know that I what? Love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Obedience is expression of love. It's not about what you do, it's the motivation behind it. Saul disobeyed God, and he thought he took on the sacrifice for himself, thinking he was doing a good thing. But it was all about Saul and not about God. And Samuel comes, and God speaks through Samuel, and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Because if you love God, and if you love your neighbor, you will be obedient to God's law. To love God's law. And it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Love and obedience are inseparable in our walk with God. How many times have you balked at what's going on in your life? You know what you need to do, but you just say, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this. For this is the one, love of God. Not love of God towards us, our love towards Him. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments should not be grievous. It should not be a task. You want to do it. And God's not going to ask us. He's not asking us to do hard things. But he's not going to ask us to do bad things.
That's right.
His commandments are not grievous. Oh, but they're way so hard. What you're asking me is just too big. I can't do this. God tells you to do something, better do it. Look at Jonah.
Amen.
Look at Abraham. Look at the prophets. Love and obedience are inseparable. Love and humility are inseparable. Humility and following is inseparable. You can't do one without the other. Obedience is an expression of love. And here's the kicker. We are called to obey as Jesus obeyed. In John chapter 21, there is the account of the disciples. Now, the disciples had gone up to Galilee because Christ had told them to go there. If you go where God wants you to, you'll find God. Jesus is on the seashore. If you go where Jesus wants you to go, you'll see God. And you know the story that they were out fishing. They said, well, we're just kind of staying around here, so let's go fish. And so they fished all night, and they caught what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Jesus stands on the shore and said, hey, you catch anything? Nope. That's pretty impressive. Fishermen didn't lie. Because they were doing it man's way. God's got a lesson about obedience here. He says here in verse 6 of John 21, he says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side. You know, we need to cast our nets on the correct side.
Amen.
We need to cast our nets where the fish are going to be, where God brings the fish to us. You can't do it on your own. And he says, cast the net on the right side of the fish, and ye shall find. You know something? When you're obedient to God, you find stuff.
Yeah.
You'll find out how good God really is.
Amen.
You'll find the blessings of God.
Amen.
You'll find the peace of God. You'll find the grace of God. You'll experience the mercy of God. You'll experience all these things.
Amen.
You shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Hey, it was the same lake. It's the same fish. Same boat, the same net. What's the difference? God was in it. You know why? Because they were obedient. They caught 153 fishes that day. Pretty good. So we're called to obey as Jesus obeyed. We are to obey God's commands in all areas of our life. You know something? Obedience with a limit on it is disobedience. Okay? You can't put a limit on what God asked you to do. Okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Hey, that's the same group he was telling this story in Matthew 21 about. So we ought to obey God's commands in all areas of life. First question. Does God have control of every area of your life? Mm-hmm. Are you holding on to something? You're holding on to something and you're not letting him have control. You're being disobedient. Mm-hmm. And you're not walking in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. Our obedience should be wholehearted.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sell out and surrender to God.
Amen.
He needs to be everything, the priority of our life. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then he said, love your neighbor on yourself. He says, then you can keep all the law. Then you'll be complete because you're obeying. So you're holding something back? That's disobedience. In areas of your life, holding something back in your effort, that's disobedience. Jesus' obedience serves as the perfect model for us. He was the example of following God. He was the example of humility and being a servant for God. He was the example of loving God. He's the example of obeying God. And we need to do the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, "For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example. That ye should follow these steps." You know, I wish my math kids would figure out that they need to follow the examples. They would find out they could do math. But they think that they know it all themselves. They want to make up their own rules of math. It doesn't work that way. And so, I can't figure this out! And I said, show me your notes. Now show them the problem. And you hear this, oh. You know, this is like us. God, I can't do this! I don't know how to do this! God opens up his word. And he says, right about here. Just do it. But you know something? You've got to think about it. This requires a change of thought, which requires a change of heart, which requires a change of relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 4 through 6, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Look at verse 5. "Casting down imaginations," okay? "And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into what? Captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ." Clean up our thought life. We clean up our thought life, our lives will be clean. We clean up our thought life, we'll be doing what God wants us to do, because we won't be thinking about it. We'll just be loving God enough to do it.
Amen.
And then having in readiness to revenge all what? Disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. You can't think like this until you've surrendered to Christ. Amen. Until you said, "I will obey. I will trust you, and I will Do you know him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on, you've not been obedient to Christ. Because Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again to pay the sin, the penalty for your sin, which is your death, your spiritual death. And now he offers eternal life to all those which are saved. Father, forgive me of my sins and give me eternity in heaven. I know that you did this for me and you're my God." But for us as Christians, let's walk as if we're obedient. You know if you are or not. Let's leave here being that way. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to become obedient to you. Lord, we thank you for the second chance that you gave Jonah. We thank you for the second chance you gave David. We thank you for all the chances you've given to us. Lord, help us today to seize this chance to be more like you and to follow in your footsteps through obedience. Lord, we give you this time of invitation. We ask that your Holy Spirit will have full reign today. We ask these things in Jesus' name.